Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror. We've got some special guests here tonight returning to the show. Director Renee Perez. Renee, how are you?
Hello, thank you for having me on your show.
Absolutely, good to have you back. It's been welcome a minute. Back. Yeah. And for the first time on our show, Chelsea Everett. Did I say your last name right, Everett?
You did. Yep, exactly right.
Awesome. How are you doing?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you all. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's been a little while, Renee. I think we had you on maybe a couple years ago.
What movie were we talking about?
I think our last one was Cry Freedom.
Yeah.
Oh, Cry Havoc.
Cry Havoc, yes. Thank you. Cry Freedom's a different movie.
Okay, yeah.
And then I know we had you on right when Death Kiss was coming out. Yeah.
Right. Well, that was fun. I remember that was a fun conversation both times.
Yes.
Well, this time we're not talking about a horror movie. I hope that's okay. I mean, it's got some violence and some gore, but it's not really a horror movie.
It's got some Last House on the Left vibes to it, so that, you know, it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about what you've been up to. You've shot many movies since we last talked to you, but tell us a little bit about Pro God, Pro Gun. Kick it off with that.
I just heard a lot of a digital noise for a second. Okay. I don't know if my internet's bad, but did you hear that, Chelsea? Did you want to answer in our stead?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, the movie is really about a hero who is kind of down in the dumps, is dishonorably discharged, and is really looking to, or not necessarily looking, but needs to prove himself, needs to prove that he's worthy, prove that he's brave. And he's kind of thrown into a situation where the opportunity presents itself for him to do so. I don't know how much I'm allowed to give away, Renee.
That was great.
Okay.
Better than the synopsis I wrote for the press. That's great.
And Chelsea, you play the bad guy or bad lady.
Yes.
Looked like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was really fun to play that role. I've played a few villains in the past. I used to do a lot of stage work, but you know, sometimes I'm cast as kind of like the sweet little innocent nice girl, and I like have always been really drawn to dark, complex characters. So this was a really great opportunity. I was able to pull from a lot of kind of legendary actors and you know, their characters and their work. I think I kind of found during the process, I was able to see, you know, where my inspiration was coming from, even if it was like subconsciously, which was super cool as well.
Yes, you were great. We watched that last night, so yeah, you were fantastic.
Awesome. Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, she was great, and it's crazy because she's so nice in real life, like unbelievable, and smart, and so to have her play these malicious characters, I've done it twice now. I think she's been the bad guy, and she just does it so well. I don't know how she does it. It's just acting talent, I guess, Chelsea.
Thank you. I don't know. Lots of years of training and a big imagination.
I do enjoy someone of your stature boss around these bigger dudes. Like, you tell them. You go get them.
I had a great time. They were all much bigger than me, taller than me, stronger. And, you know,
bigger personality.
Yeah. It's a fun contrast for sure.
Well, I'm wondering, did you guys catch the reason why they obeyed her? Did you?
She was the smartest one in the room.
Right, because she knew how to sell the bearer bonds and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if anyone would catch on to that or not. So
we were very impressed. Did you have like a particular inspiration? There's a lot going on in Pro God, Pro Gun. There's a lot of elements to that movie. Did you guys have like a particular inspiration? Maybe a past grindhouse type film or
overall, you know, it's a siege movie. And there is a lot of siege movies like Last House on the Left. Even Die Hard is a siege movie. Yeah. So those are pretty common. But, you know, for our smaller B movie type, you know, productions that we have, the only place I can be artistic is in exploring the human condition. So there are siege movies where buildings blow up or where there's, you know, hordes of zombies outside or whatever. Ours has the action and the stuff that people want to see, but it's all done on a smaller, more intimate scale, I guess you'd say. So for me, it's always a matter of whatever genre I'm doing, I try to figure out what is the human element to that. What are the people feeling? And if they're learning anything, what are they learning? So that's my inspiration for everything I do. And also, I wanted to do a straightforward, something very straightforward and something that seemed very patriotic, because this movie, I knew with the title, would not get distribution, and I kind of did it for that. I knew I was on my way to being outed by Hollywood for all of my conservative proclivities, so I figured I'd just go all the way and make the gun have the pro-gun, pro-God title, or backwards, I'm sorry, pro-God, pro-gun, and just make it of all the things that I think are important about living a good life and living with freedom and defending. So those are the things I was mainly interested on my end. I don't know. How about you, Chelsea?
Yeah, I mean, I think just what you said, I mean, the redemption story of it. Yeah, I think, I mean, even just talking to people recently, I was talking to someone the other day about how, you know, they work at this store, and if someone comes and is stealing stuff from their store, they're not allowed to do anything unless the person starts attacking them. And just, I think this movie does a good job encapsulating defending what you care about and what you want to protect and what's yours. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's anything about, you know, being violent or malicious. I think it's just about defense and redemption in a lot of ways. But I mean, for me, a lot of my inspiration from like an acting perspective definitely came from more of like a Harley Quinn, Heath Ledger Joker kind of place, which I think I was feeling the most in the moment during that scene where I'm around the table and I'm talking to the two women and kind of giving them this bigger speech about kind of my character's background and, you know, where she came from and her perspective.
Yeah. And her perspective is my perspective also. Of course, when you write something, everyone kind of plays your perspective. So even the bad guy's perspective, I think, is something that we all feel about how we know how a lot of things, the business practices, are all against the little man and all for the bankers who rule the world. So she just happens to be a character who acted on her impulses, where I, of course, would never rob a bank or anything like that. But of course, we all feel that it's so unjust and so unfair. So even though she's the bad guy, she does represent an opinion of mine. It's just that her character is more vicious and willing to go further with it.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've worked with Chase Bloomquist before on Dragon Unleashed.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed him. We've talked a lot about on the show in recent years about not really having true, like, newer action stars, like old school action stars anymore.
Yeah.
I thought he was really good. How is he to work with?
Well, for me as a director, he's great. I cast him to type, you know. Mm. There are some actors who are chameleons and who could do everything, and there are certain actors who are good at doing what they do. And I'm sure we all have favorite actors, famous actors who have those two specialties. But Chase is really good at being the suffering hero who suffers in silence. And he is so good at it that when I'm writing the script, I could imagine how he's going to say everything. And he's pretty much on par with my imagination at all times. And he's just a helpful, great guy. I have nothing but good stuff to say about him. Chelsea, I know you didn't like him. Why don't you go ahead and speak up? Just kidding.
That's not true.
Give us the dirt.
No, he's wonderful to work with. He's very thoughtful and empathetic in terms of like what other people are up to. I think he's very aware, and I don't want to say like the word sensitive, but I think he's just very in tune with everything that's kind of going on, which I think, you know, to an outside perspective might translate as, you know, he's like a quieter kind of person, but I think he's receiving a lot, you know, when you are working with him, and he's very intentional and very giving as an acting partner.
Yeah, no, we enjoyed him quite a bit. He kind of has like early Van Damme vibes, who's, you know, my action his, star his growing features up.
Features are like Channing Tatum and Tom Hardy. It's like, wow. And he's got the talent to back it up. It's like, when I enjoyed his character, his arc, especially like right at the end when you find out exactly why he was discharged.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, that's not really that bad. What are we doing here?
Right.
So,
yeah, it's always important that a hero has, in order for them to overcome, there has to be something that haunts him or a lie that he or she believes. So that was the lie that he believed is that he was a coward, when all he really did was something that I think if you had a good, if you could stand up for yourself, that no one would do. It's not good to be just a blind following soldier. You have to stand up for yourself and do the things that are right. And that's what he did. But of course the army favors obedience over everything. So they, in their eyes, he's a coward. But I think in the eyes of any other person, he wouldn't be. So, yeah, I'm glad that came across.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No, we enjoyed him quite a bit. I'm curious to see how his career develops. I thought he was really interesting, and we don't get traditional action stars anymore. It's a shame, but yeah, very excited to see what he has coming up. So can you tell us a little bit, Chelsea, I know you are also in another film from Renee coming up soon, Only Fans Allowed. Mm-hmm. Interesting title. I know this is a horror film. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this focuses on a character who is basically putting on a show, putting on kind of this cover-up for a group of her followers, where she kind of feeds them what others may consider conspiracy theories and is basically revealing truths, or what she believes to be truths, about the government. The government finds out, of course, and they don't want these secrets being revealed or discussed. They basically kidnap one of her devoted followers, vaccinate him, and that gives them the ability to mind control the character, and they kind of are planning to use this character to take down this woman who's found this secret voice.
Awesome.
Count me in.
Does this have a release date yet? Because we have not watched this one yet. Just
so it is released already on Rebellion Flix. There are three of my blacklisted movies are on rebellionflix.com. So it's an X at the end, like Netflix, but Rebellion Flix.
Okay.
And you pay a one-time fee, and it gives you all the movies that are on there. So you can watch everything, including OnlyFans. And yeah, it is basically, she said it all with great detail, but it is basically about a woman who pretends to be doing pornography or a peep show. And when she's behind her paywall, she puts on her Che Guevara rebellion jacket, army jacket, and she starts saying all of her ideas about forming militias and, mass disobedience is the only way, and to not believe in any voting or presidents. So when Google, or Big Brother, I will say, hears what she's doing, because they're okay with you espousing pornography, but they don't want you to say anything that's a point of view which differs from the approved narratives. So because of that, they do get one of her followers. They find out that he's vaccinated already, and they use it to release an adrenaline, just pure adrenaline into his body, like a chemical imbalance, which makes him into a maniac. And then they release him on her property. So that way they could tell the news, hey, one of this woman who's doing right-wing hate speech got killed by one of her own followers. So that's what, to Chelsea's apt description, that's what the movie's about too, in a nutshell. So it starts off as a political thriller and turns into a slasher movie.
That's awesome. I don't know if I've quite seen that blended before.
Yeah. And I just look, Rebellion Flix, the three films are this one, Pro God, Pro Gun, and The Insurrection, which we did talk about.
Yeah.
I know we did. Maybe that was the last time we had you on. Was when we talked about that.
No, I think we mentioned it, but there was no press for the insurrections, as far as I remember, because that movie was a 2019, yeah. And it got it wasn't allowed to be released anyway. It was my first movie that didn't get a commercial release, not because of the quality, but because of the had a lot of anti-Hollywood sentiment, and it also Chelsea has seen it, but it also talks about a. That the government would use a virus to
so that
was just I mean, I didn't know, obviously, but it was just like one of the ways I thought that they would do it. I had zero idea that a year later there was going to be a thing called COVID. I honestly had no idea. But so that movie's been kind of on the shelf for the last three years now. Well, however long 2019 was.
Yeah, we definitely watched it. I do. Yeah. Mm. So we might have discussed it.
Yeah, my
I know you sent us this.
Bar.
I know you sent us the screener.
The screener, great, great. Well, yeah. So that's on there. OnlyFans is on there, and then the brand new one, Pro God, Pro Gun. Well, actually, OnlyFans is new, brand new, also.
Okay, now is it OnlyFans or OnlyFans Allowed?
Well, OnlyFans Allowed is the full title, but I guess okay, I just say it so sure. often. Yeah,
not at all. I just wanted to make sure in case they're looking. But
they are.
Don't want somebody coming in to expect something else from
them. I did want to ask, like, the look of Pro Gun was different. What, you know, you were obviously going for a tube TV look. What was your thought process going into that?
Well, Chelsea and other people of her age wouldn't know, but TVs used to suck. They used to look really bad. So you'd have a big giant TV, and then the tube that you actually saw stuff from would be very small. And over the years, it gets dirty, and it gets if the sun hits it, it gets sun damaged. So the movie took place in 1974. That's why all the disco music and all that stuff. So I just wanted to go, and besides, I knew this wouldn't get commercially released. So I wanted to go as far as I could with that look. I don't think any of my actors like it. But I really like the old 70s. Like if you're watching a TV show, I don't know how many people actually even remember that. But that's how TV used to look. And no matter how great the film is, the tube just made it look, you know, so-so. Did you guys find that distracting when you watched it?
I didn't. I knew immediately what we were going for. I wasn't sure if we were going to do as long as we did, but then there's the moment it disappears. I liked that at the that's sort of the very end.
Yeah, it lets us know what time period we are in. I enjoyed it. I thought that was pretty cool because like it reminded me of the Korn video Here to Stay. I was like, hey, I like this. So, yeah. Oh, you mentioned music, Renee. I did notice that was you, and then I waited for the credits, and your name popped up. Good job, man. I like your music.
Well, it was my chance to do 70s music. My kids were laughing at me trying to sing like the Bee Gees. Yeah, actually, I'm talking from my music recording. So I actually sit here and stand here and do the singing from here. And also, Chelsea helped me write the lyrics to one of the songs. So that was great. Didn't have my overly sexist lyrics that I usually write. It was actually thoughtful and profound. So she helped me with some great lyrics there. And Chelsea also plays music, too. I think that's why she's such a great actress, because she's an artist. You know, and artistic people can pretty much, I think, do anything in the arts. It's just a matter of what they practice the most. So she was very helpful and very inspirational through all that. I was like, I got to sing better. I have some good words coming at me. Let me try to do it. But, you know, I had the most fun, I think, ever. Usually I do like 80s. Synthesizer music and or John Carpenter style stuff, but in this one I didn't even know I could. I mean, it literally sounds just like 70s music. So I'm very, very proud of that. I usually don't go around telling everybody I do the music because it kind of makes the movie seem cheap. It's like, God, you guys just have this one Mexican and then the actors. it just makes it sound like a discount kind of movie.
Hey, it worked for Carpenter.
Yeah, everything in-house, yeah. cost-effective, yeah. and you'd have enough talent to do it. I don't see it as a hindrance at all.
Okay. Well, yeah. In this case, I'm so happy because I was looking for other scenes to do music. When I was done, I was like, is that it? I'm ready to do some funky. More disco and funk. And, so that was great. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Chelsea was dressed like Saturday Night Fever. No, that's her costume, but the girl version, John Travolta. And then we had Mike, one of the bank robber guys, just like Shaft, also yep. from yes. the 70s. Richard Roundtree Shaft, not the new ones. And then our hero was dressed like First Blood. So he just had lighter colors as opposed to the darker colors that Rambo had. So, yeah, a lot of little Easter eggs and a lot of us messing around having fun in the 70s there.
It also felt like it had that 80s gang where you have, a bunch of different races kind of together, which I miss that. So that I thought was kind of
throwback. Politically correct. Yeah.
I don't even think that, but it's just an 80s trope we don't have anymore.
It
was common.
And 70s also. That was also a 70s trope and Death Wish and stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah. But I couldn't get over Chelsea and her Saturday Night Fever costume and all the bell bottoms, and everyone just looked so great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you're in pre-production on something that you're well known for, a zombie film called Nightfall. Tell us a little bit about Nightfall.
Nightfall is done. It's not a zombie movie. I'm not sure. I'm not sure where that came out of, but yeah.
It's Nightfall is on IMDb.
Oh, I don't have an IMDb account. I don't know how they would get the.
It's. Here, I'll read
Beyond it Dead, though. Yeah, so that maybe vampire?
It is a vampire movie, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, there we go. Yeah, you had a 50-50 zombie.
50-50. Yeah, and Chelsea's in that one, too, just because she's so great. Yeah, Chelsea, I can't film without Chelsea at this point, so.
Your muse.
But that's a vampire movie. It's done. I'm not sure what's going to happen with that movie now, but I would like to have it on Rebellion Flicks also, if I can arrange to have that done. But that was a nice experience, huh, Chelsea?
Yeah, no, I love that one. I wasn't exactly the bad guy there necessarily, which was great. So, I played Evangeline. She was kind of more of like a pixie, happy-go-lucky kind of character, even though she's doing things that objectively would be considered evil, because her character is really about bringing people for the vampire or the countess to have as dinner, right? So her role is kind of luring people in for the countess. I think we see a good amount of humanity kind of emerge from a lot of the different characters, even if they're undead, within that film.
Awesome. And that one's done like an 80s horror movie. So not as retro looking as a 70s one, because, by the 80s, we're kind of like at a peak of technological achievement in movies. There's not too much difference from like Return of the Jedi and the new Star Wars that they make now 40 years later. So once you get to the 80s, it kind of levels out. So unless you had a bad print with scratches on it, that was the only thing that would look iffy back then. So it's another retro style. I don't know if people like that. I don't know if people are going to start throwing rocks at me anytime soon by making everything look so retro style. But I love it. For me, the golden age of entertainment is 70s and 80s. Yeah. So I look at everything. I look at from the 30s all the way to now. And I still say that objectively. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that one goes.
Absolutely. I hope everybody gets a chance to see it. Vampire films are pretty popular right now. I know we've got a new Blade on the way. So
cool.
And your back catalog, is it most of it still on Amazon Prime?
They come in and out of rotation at times. Usually when a movie comes out, it'll be at the store for a month or two. And then after that, it's only no more DVDs or Blu-rays unless you get it on Amazon. But they're always on iTunes and Google Play and Amazon. Those are those older movies belong to distributors, and I'm sure that they'll keep milking every penny out of them till I'm a little old movie director. Yeah.
We keep hoping for a Playing with Dolls box set at some point.
Yeah.
All together.
I get emails about that every week. I wish I was in charge. You know, the thing is with those Playing with Dolls movies, they are pretty straightforward too. And they're very much 80s style. And all the 80s politics are no longer favorable. Like, you're supposed to pretend that beautiful women aren't beautiful. And you're supposed to pretend all these things that I just can't do. Just can't pretend that much. So those are becoming problematic too, especially the last one, Cry Havoc, where he had the macho man hero going after his daughter, which I'm sure everyone's seen it. It's, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the millions, I'm sure, have seen that movie already. So I probably will, if I have to make another one, I'll probably have to make that on my own, because I have been told to make Havoc 5, but to make it more with contemporary politics. So I just haven't yet.
That's, we don't want that with a slasher film, though.
No.
This doesn't make sense to me.
I don't like any kind of current politics regardless. So, but especially in a slasher movie, people are there to see blood and guts and beautiful women. And it's a ride. It's just an adventure. And I do try to put my little morality tales into them. And I do try to, you know, touch on the human condition while there is this thrill of a ride happening. But yeah, I mean, I work for the audience. I don't work for anyone else. So the distributors and all the producers I work for, they're all assholes, and they know I think they're all assholes. So I, you know, I'm here for the people who want to watch the movies because they're fans just like me, and that's what it's all about, nothing else.
So for anybody listening that's unfamiliar with your work, where would you recommend they start? Because you've made a lot of movies. What for you, where would you say best place to start for Renee Fresno? I'll pose that to you too, Chelsea.
I would suggest for my movies to go to rebellionflix.com, because that is the one place where I will actually get the money to make more movies. All of my other 30 movies or whatever that I've made for Universal or Sony or Archstone, whatever the companies that have them, that money rarely ever trickles down to me. Mm-hmm. And so if anyone wants to support me and watch some new content that I have, I would really suggest to go to rebellionflix.com. It helps my little grassroots rebellion against Hollywood and against politicians. And it also will help me make more movies for the future. So that's what I would say. And if you guys want to see the Havoc movies, only watch part 3 and 4, please, until the unreleased versions of the other ones come out.
I've said this before when you're on. I know you don't like the cuts. They're still good. I still have fun with those two. I would love to see your cuts.
Yeah.
I think you will soon. Yeah, I think you will. Okay.
Ned, wait.
Yes.
For me, out of the ones that I've seen, I would say The Insurrection was really powerful and really eye-opening for me. And I remember as soon as I finished watching it, Renee was like, oh, like, we know, what did you think? And I was like, I really feel like everyone needs to see this because it's really eye-opening. I mean, not only to things that, you know, could be happening, you know, here, but just all over the world. And I think, you know, we're so trained in society to kind of, you know, be this way and follow these rules and do this thing. And these are the steps you have to take to be successful. And I think taking everything a step back and looking at it from a very different perspective, it was very eye-opening and a little upsetting because it was so eye-opening for me. I kind of felt like, you know, wow, why is this the first time that someone's kind of showing me these ideas as things that may be happening, as things that could be impacting the way that I think and act in my life. And yeah, I feel like that's a really fascinating place to start. But if you're looking for more like slasher and gore, I would probably say Cry Havoc.
Chelsea, that's the nicest thing. When I asked her, she's like, yeah, it was all right. But now she says all this. She says all these wonderful things. I didn't know. That's great. I'm glad you liked it so much. I had no idea. Well, her movies are equally like I said, in a pro God, pro gun, she displays all these things that you're supposed to feel, but you don't give in to the temptation. That's what Chelsea's character is. So I think that even if it's not as direct as The Insurrection, it has a lot of the same ideas about being free and defending what you have and living by a code of ethics that you think are moral. And also your OnlyFans movie too. So two of your movies, actually three of your movies that you've done with me, all touch on the human condition in the context of being free and being yourself and not going with the flow and always doing what you think is right, even when other people aren't doing it. So I think you have a lot of good ones, including slasher ones like OnlyFans, which will impact people the same way because of your great performance in those.
Absolutely. And Chelsea, interesting IMDb credit for you as a voice on The Little Engine They Could with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, wow.
Random one to bring up on a horror podcast, but yeah. I just saw that and thought it was interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did that when I was, I think, a freshman or sophomore in high school. So it was one of my first experiences doing anything kind of really acting wise. I mean, a lot of my background started with theater, and I did a lot of professional theater until more recently I started being like, okay, I really want to like dive more into film. But yeah, that was a really fun one. Everyone's always like, did you meet this person from there? Did you meet this person? And I always have to say like, no, we recorded separately, which is kind of a bummer, but it was really great. And, a really exciting and inspiring experience for me that I feel like makes me still want to do more voiceovers, but also, you know, made me more passionate, about film work generally.
Awesome. Awesome. No, that's a cool credit to be in. Yeah. Well, Jamie Lee Curtis and Patrick Warburton as well.
Yeah.
Yep, you have a great voice too, probably because you could sing, but I would be a crime to not show yourself on video. So we're better off being able to see and hear you.
Perfect.
So if you can sing, are you guys going to do a collaboration, another collaboration where you sing on a track with you and Renee? That'd be fun.
Renee would love for me to do something like that. I went to school for acting, and you know, seeing the other people there with their musical theater training, a lot of those people were going right to Broadway. And you know, I've had some training in singing, but I've never felt like it was my strongest suit, and it's not my most I'm not the most passionate about it compared to acting. I've always felt like acting is my number one thing. I like just great drama. But yeah, no, I mean, I'd like to do it. I just, it's not something I feel like, oh, like I'm the best singer ever, I have to do this. Whereas Renee's like, oh, you know, you have a great voice, I would love to do something. But I definitely think we could make some more songs in the future. It's really just about when we need one and writing the lyrics and getting it on paper.
Playing with Dolls the musical.
She's downplaying her singing ability. She sings way better than I do, so I'd be lucky to have her sing on a song. So yeah, she's just being modest.
Oh well, I'd love to hear it. Get it cracking. Any future projects then, like minus music, Renee, that you're working on, or Chelsea?
Well, now that you mention it, we are doing another horror movie, and probably starting next week, which will also go to rebellionflicks.com. Yeah, so she's going to be the star now. She's been the bad guy and kind of in the middle bad guy already too many times. She's ready to be the hero. And she's going to do a great job at it.
All right. Awesome.
We look forward to that.
Yeah. Does it have a name yet by chance, or we're saving that?
I don't know what title to put, but I'll pick something incendiary for sure. Okay. but it'll be kind of like the same along the lines of OnlyFans. It'll be political thriller and horror, but this one's a lot more on the horror side than anything else. So yeah, it'd be great to get back to horror a couple of movies since I've done horror. And with Chelsea, she's such a great actress. I mean, you know, it's hard to find actors, male actors who are handsome and could also be the hero, right? Because that's men, we want to see a manly man, and we want to live vicariously through that. But it's really hard to find beautiful actresses who are also able to act really well. And sometimes in the past, I've had to choose, well, she's so beautiful, I'll put her in there and I'll work with her on the acting. But Chelsea has both. She looks great from every angle. She doesn't have a bad angle anywhere, and she just looks so amazing. The only problem is you have to try to not stare at her when you're filming, because then you, like, you know, your brain's like, oh my God, she's so beautiful. But she also can act like as if she was, like, at such a high level, it makes me feel that what I'm doing is not good enough. I'm like, crap, and she's too good to be in my little movie. So I think we're going to have a great leading lady for this next one, and we'll know pretty soon. Now that I don't have to go through normal channels of distribution, as soon as I have something done, I'll just put it up on Rebellion Flicks.
And I was looking right now, it's you can rent all three for $1.99.
Yeah. And I know people are used to getting movies for free at this point, you know, or watching with a few commercials or whatever, but I would say don't do that in our case. I know everyone doesn't want to be pirated, and I'm sure these things are pirated already, but this really is going directly to us, and we really are using that money to just make more stuff. So you're not supporting, you know, a multi-billion a month industry like Netflix or Disney Plus or anything like that. We're just a one-time charge. So you get to rent those movies for a week and watch them at your leisure. And it's all anything that's up there is for you to watch. But we really are just the artsy-fartsy kind of people who are trying to do the best we can without any industrial, you know, company behind us. So hopefully people will keep that in mind and decide to put a crowbar in their wallet and pay $1.99. To support us, I hope.
Absolutely, guys. Go out and support Renee and Chelsea and RebellionFlicks.com. And Chelsea, is there any place where our listeners can find you, social media or anything you want to promote?
Oh, sure. So I do a bunch of random different things. I mean, I'm on Twitch under my first name and my middle name, which is Erin, E-R-I-N-N-E. So I'm on there making fun content. But yeah, I also have ChelseaEver.com, which is, you know, just like where I throw kind of pictures or kind of the latest and greatest. I need to update it with some of our latest stuff soon because it's all kind of still coming out. But yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. Very support cool. Beau Renee and Chelsea. And guys, it's been a pleasure having you here tonight. We'll have to have you back when you have the new movie out to promote. It's great. Really looking forward to it.
We'll be happy to do so. And thank you guys so much for talking to us about this. You guys have such amazing backdrops that are so full of things to look at. And ours are so, we got to work on that, Chelsea. Our backdrops are kind of.
No, I need more pictures back here. A little screen cap, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there you go.
You're so busy making them. We're busy watching them.
Yeah. Yeah. All
good. Oh, we appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you so much
for your time and for your art. And we appreciate you coming on so much. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to be out here for the day. Thanks, Renee, Chelsea. Well, the other guys, but all right. Say goodnight, Dan.
Good night, guys.
Good evening.
I'll see you in Disneyland.
There we go.